Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 649, Escape Room Winners and Stuff.
Yeah. Just Escape Room 2.
Yeah, I know.
God forbid
yeah.
they make it easy. We got spoiled with A Quiet Place, Part 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice and easy. I thought it was interesting. This one is technically called Tournament of Champions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that in the trailer, it's the main guy in the movie who says Tournament of Champions, but in the movie itself, it's one of the new characters who yeah. refers to it as a Tournament of Champions.
So I wonder if there's an extra cut of this movie somewhere.
Yeah, like it's Ben, the not a boyfriend, but you know
the other guy, the male lead. Yeah.
You know, says he's like, what is it like some kind of Tournament of Champions, and which is kind of funny. Like, it was a funny delivery. His reading of the line, I thought, was better, because she says it, like, really, like...
A Tournament of Champions.
Right, yeah.
Oh, this is, like, some sort of Tournament of Champions.
Right, like, he said it in a funny way.
Right, right.
Which works
I was
a
like,
lot better.
No one would ever talk like that. Like, yeah. The way that she said it is very much like...
A quick, tight zoom in on her face
right.
like, as she says it. Yeah.
Yeah, very non-ironic, where right. he was kind of, like, kind of had a meta moment, and it was like, which I dug. I was like, yeah, that is... ridiculous. I mean, this movie is ridiculous. So was the last one.
Sure.
You're either going to embrace that or you're not. But I guess before we get to all that,
yes.
let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast. Unless it's a Zune, you can find us. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. We call the group the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you would be so kind as to share an episode. It helps us tremendously. You can tell we had a Marvel movie last week because we got lots of show sharers. So here we go. David Rojas, Ralph Tribble, Pat Andy, Brendan McGuckin, Lane Levanway, Julianne Jordan, Michael Tonkovic, Chris Valls, Librarian Cynthia, Brad Hyen, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Heather Sachs, Nick Charles, Gabriel Lugo, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Ron Johnson, Cinema Recall, Kathia Woods, Ken Holzhauser, Matt Naglio, We Have a Hulk Podcast, ATL Bone and Bread, Chris Wilson, the Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, which I don't know if I've said it before, but I love that name. James Edwards, Geek to Me Radio, Chris Williams, Ronnie Castle, the Movie Journey Podcast, In Session Film, singular, Binge Movies Podcast, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Feelin' Film, and Mike, and Oscar. So thank you so much, everybody, for sharing the episode. We greatly appreciate it. And If you've shared an episode and you just want to help even more and you're not sure how, you could give us your money. Go to patreon.com/realspoilers. And you can, for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out. And we're extra nice to you. So
we have a review.
Uh-oh.
A 5-star review.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
At this point, we're not even sure. Like, yeah. This is from Whitney's dance partner. It's the title of the review is Absolute Banger with a 5 stars. The show is supremely underrated. Like, actually, I've been listening to maybe for 3 years and somehow have only gotten around to reviewing, hopefully in time for the Black Widow review. Sorry, bud. You missed it by a week.
Oh, so close. Or we missed it.
Even though it was a meh movie. These guys are so fun, and I thoroughly enjoy listening to these friends just talk about what they love, or if it comes to chicken noise movies like King Arthur, which they hate.
I blocked that out. Thanks for bringing that up, Whitney's dance partner. Yeah.
These guys are the best kind of nerds, and the only thing that would change if they would bring back Dan. Every time I'm in the car, I turn on some Real Spoilers, even if it is a movie I've never heard of before, because I know that the endless tangents will keep me entertained for hours. Thanks for helping me entertained through the countless summer work days. You can expect a new Patreon member soon.
Aww.
Also, my name is Maddox Swigert. I've always wanted to hear a celebrity say my name.
Oh,
we'll see if we can find one
for you.
Keep waiting, brother. But thank you for that. That was a great, awesome review. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was very nice.
We appreciate it. If you guys can review us, it really does help because that's how new people find the show. If you're on iTunes or Google, whoever you listen to is great, but all those services, when they get an increase of reviews, they rank you different with the algorithms. So seriously, it's a big help to us.
It's all about the algorithms.
All about the
algae rhythm. If you watch Space Jam.
No, please don't bring up Space Jam.
I got to the Metropolis scene. I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. And then I walked away.
I will say this. I didn't hate it.
No, right. It's fine for a kids movie.
It is what it is.
I thought the animation looked good.
I really didn't like it when they switched them to
the 2D.
The 3D. Right. I really like the 2D stuff. Yeah. I wish they'd have left it like that.
Yeah,
I know.
And there were some funny lines.
They don't switch to 3D for an hour into the movie.
You don't see Bugs Bunny until 28 minutes
into
the movie.
I got to tell you, let's not watch LeBron James for 20 minutes. Yeah.
But that was wild to me. So in the first Space Jam, of course, the big deal was they were like, they looked the way that they did in that movie. And then in this movie, you're like waiting for the CG to come. And seriously, an hour into it, they're doing the Looney Tune Land stuff and all the 2D. And I'm like, this is cool, but what is happening here? Because I saw like any previews you saw, they were in 3D.
Like the 3D models.
I thought it was so strange they made it. But I'm like, oh, money. Because the 3D stuff
is expensive.
Is way more expensive than the 2D. I mean, I know that if it was hand-drawn, it'd be different. But computer 2D is not the same as 3D. So I'm like, okay, so they did that for half the movie, and then they're like basketball scene 3D. Okay.
Right,
and then at the end they're just like boom, 2D. They switched them back into it.
Yeah.
Like even on the court or whatever. Once they win, spoilers, the Toon Squad wins.
Oh,
I know, I'm sorry. But spoilers, LeBron is not captured by the computer and his kid is not murdered by the bad guy to end the kid's movie.
That's a hell of an ending.
Okay, so as long as we're talking Space Jam, how weird is it that the premise of the movie is that all of the Warner Brothers content you see is created by a soulless computer?
I know.
Yeah.
It explains the DCEU.
But I'm just like, and then they reference, and I know they're getting a lot of heat for how much other Warner Brothers stuff they reference, but it's because it's free for them, right?
Right, right.
But even then, like, if I was J.K. Rowling, I'd be like, if you're saying it's all been created by a soulless computer, don't include Harry Potter. Don't put my stuff in there.
They didn't other than that castle, right? I didn't see any Harry
Potter. No, there's a Harry Potter world. Oh.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. They show you, they drive by it or whatever for a second, but in the audience, there wasn't a whole lot. I think J.K. Rowling's like, okay, a couple mil, throw my way, you can show that Hogwarts.
J.K. Rowling's can.
Yeah, she's got other issues.
She can kiss off.
We won't get into, but still, I thought it was really weird that the premise is basically everything we make is bad, and then here we're going to show you a bunch of it because it triggers your nostalgia.
Game of Thrones wasn't bad until season 8. It was good up until then.
It was good until it was great until 6. It was okay in 7,
and then it was 8. It was a mess.
I bailed after 3.
Yeah.
Oh man,
that show bored the crap out of me.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah, you have to like walk around from kingdom to kingdom talking about stuff.
I've tried a couple different shows like that or books like that, and I'm just like, I'm
I get it. I get that.
What really turned me off about the new Space Jam movie.
All the boobs.
Oh. No, they took those out. that's the Snyder cut you're thinking of.
Gotcha.
You have to wait for that. But no,
everything's
in the first 30 minutes, it was just
Hallelujah.
Like, we're going to Warner Brothers for the meeting. Oh, Warner Brothers? Warner like, it was the, it's like, dude, we know we're watching this on HBO Max probably. And
they didn't know that when they made it.
And we know there's yeah, a Warner Brothers logo, like, and all these properties and stuff. Like, they mentioned Warner Brothers. It was so, like, beyond just being meta.
Yeah.
It was so self-referential about how many times can we say Warner Brothers? It was irking the crap out of me.
They wanted a Lego movie or a Lego Batman movie with, you know, all the different
in that world, you could, like, if you're saying that, like, you're going into, like, the Warner algorithm, okay. Like, that makes sense that you could see all of these different properties.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. They absolutely wanted their Lego movie, and it wasn't.
It fell into the trap that, you know, I've never been a Family Guy fan.
Sure.
And, which is weird, because I like Seth MacFarlane. I just don't like Family Guy.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, but, like, the thing I don't like about Family Guy is sometimes I feel like they just make pop culture references, and they're just like, here's something you've heard of, and enjoy that for 8 seconds. And
was that the South Park crossover where like somebody was going to show Muhammad?
Oh yeah,
did they cross over with South Park?
They made fun of Family Guy.
That's what it was. Yes.
Simpsons
they made
and
fun.
Family Guy have really crossed over. Yeah.
Well,
South Park did the really crudely drawn Peter Griffin. Yes. Like they were all really crudely. Drawn.
Oh hey Muhammad.
Yeah.
but anyway, it felt like that.
I could see that.
It was
for
just
sure.
Like. You know, and there were things that were funny. Like, I mean, I laughed a couple times, but I gotta tell you
that no offense, because I can't do it, but that Bugs Bunny voice is awful.
Oh, I hate the new Bugs Bunny voice.
Good.
Did that bother you?
No, not at all.
He's really. Obviously, we all grew
Blank
up
is
watching,
like,
but even like whoever took over after him, obviously it hasn't been him since the beginning. Like someone took over, but it was way better. Like in our Space Jam, the Bugs Bunny voice was fine. And I don't think that was Mel Blanc.
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't think that was him in that. I thought somebody was dead.
What year did that
come out? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't him. But whoever does it now, that voice is awful.
Yeah, not good.
When he says, "What's up, Doc?" It's like, you know, you can tell he's practiced for years perfecting "What's up, Doc?"
What's up,
because
right.
that's
yeah,
the
right,
saying.
Right.
But then when he talks outside of that, it sounds so not like Bugs Bunny.
The Mel Blanc had like a...
Billy West was Bugs Bunny.
In the
original Space
Jam. Right. So Billy West.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
One of the greats, right? And so, but yeah, whoever
but
they got.
Still alive. Why wouldn't they get him back?
That's a, well, I, maybe it's a.
He's probably pretty picky and choosy these days because, you know, he's done everything.
This is Jeff Bergman.
Yeah. Not good.
Well, no offense, Jeff Bergman.
I mean,
but
this might be a wonderful guy. No offense. It's just not good.
Not good.
And he was Bugs Bunny, Sylvester, Yosemite Sam, Fred Flintstone, and Yogi Bear.
Yeah, and you know, so like Fred Flintstone drives by and says "yabba-dabba-doo," and like so, you know, he's perfected that line. Like
right.
he just perfects. I mean, yeah, sure, you can. A lot of people do impressions can do like the line,
right?
You know, like when you set yourself up, like let's, you know, whatever we want to do.
There was a documentary about voice acting, and there was one.
Oh,
guy,
the one hosted by the guy that does Bender,
maybe
Joe
DiMaggio. Maybe.
That was a great doc.
But he was like, they're talking to one of the guys that is like a prolific voice actor,
James Arnold Taylor,
maybe. But they said like people would come up to him and be like, "Hey, I can do an impression of Marty McFly. I can do a voice of Marty McFly." And the guy's like, "Cool,
James Arnold Taylor. Yeah,
can you do Marty McFly singing in the rain?"
Exactly. James Arnold Taylor
does
Obi-Wan Kenobi and all the Star Wars stuff that not live action, but obviously all the animated Clone Wars. That's James Arnold Taylor.
Right.
He does Marty McFly in the Telltale games.
Yes.
He's one of the greats. He does. I saw him live at Star Wars Celebration.
Okay.
Which one? 6, I think. And he is phenomenal. He did a whole show where he would go into Singing in the Rain and then he would switch voices to different characters.
That weirds me out. I don't like seeing their faces when they're
doing it. But he's phenomenal. He is so good. And you're right. That's the difference. Can you recreate a line? Yes. But when you have a new script to go off of, you're not just saying lines.
Right. Can you just make that voice do that? And I was like,
I will say
point.
There was there were a couple scenes where Bugs Bunny was impersonating other things.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I enjoyed that because he was still sounding like Bugs Bunny, but also
got the cadence right. Like the way I agree with you, because when he went out of Bugs Bunny doing an impersonation, it was like, okay, well now this is Bugs Bunny doing this. So
right.
It's not going to sound.
It would have been so easy. Like if he was, I don't even remember what he impersonated, but if he was going to impersonate Harry Potter, it'd be so easy to just
do a Harry Potter.
But he did it.
He did.
Like, he still sounded like Bugs Bunny, but
doing
all,
Harry Potter.
And I was like, oh, that was a good threading of the needle.
While we're on these tangents,
Okay.
Do you want to
sneak in a box office report?
Oh, just real quick.
We did have a folks, you know, on the Facebook page that have chimed in. And want that back. There was your tangent before the box office.
Well, I can't start it.
Oh, sorry.
When's the last time we did one?
I know. I forgot that
it had
that
to
I was
be pre-COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Because once COVID hit, there was no box
office. Box office.
I guess we will check out the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And now that movies are back, we've all been back to the theater. Of course, specifically for this one is theatrical only. Yeah. So they've been doing that with the last couple of movies here. And, this is crazy. These are crazy times we live in because not only because of the COVID stuff, obviously, but you've got new movies coming out, new Marvel movies coming out, and them losing first place in week two. Marvel movies.
When do you remember the last time that's ever happened?
Never. Probably. I bet a Marvel movie has been in number one for...
Do we say that... When did Iron Man open? Oh, Iron Man
did
not
Days
open
of Future
against...
Past or something.
Oh, but MCU. Yeah, exactly. MCU movies losing first place in week two. I'd be willing to bet that's never happened.
Yeah.
Because no one's even... In week two, they're like, oh, we better hold this again.
Yeah, now everybody steers clear, yeah.
So, because of all these dual releases, and it makes sense, like Marvel movies are... I mean, the big movies are always front-loaded, right? As far as like 100 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
And then of course you get like a 60 million, which is a big drop, but like a huge box office.
Right.
But now, you have people watching at home, right? So when Black Widow opens to a decent weekend and they say, oh, we made 40 million or whatever at the theater and 40 million on Disney, like what's crazy is Black Widow did almost the same theatrical as it did Premier Access, which
That's
proves
very
that
interesting.
Like there's people that will pay and see it at home. But now when we do that and then you drop to week two, it's like, well, you either watched it in theaters or you now have this continuing at home option. So you're not going to get as many people to the theaters. The theatrical people are like, I'm seeing it on the big screen week one. And then it's like, well, I've seen it. Or
Do you think that because of that, the idea of the megaplex is going to go away and maybe we go back to a five screen theater system?
I don't know.
I think there's too many already in existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it'd be too expensive to renovate at this point. They're just going to show whatever on trillion screens.
Five digital IMAX screens.
Right, exactly what you'll see. You'll see of the four movies that are out, they'll just be on 15 screens.
Right. It costs nothing to like just let those play. Because, so like at our screening, and we'll mention a box office number in a second, but for this movie, it was me and Ryan... a couple, two other people like in the middle of the theater and then one person down at the end of the row from us. But like, so you're talking about three other people besides us. And
right.
It was a pretty decent, probably 150 seat auditorium, but it's like, well, the theater's there, digital projection. I mean, what does it really cost to play that while you got the room?
Right.
And you know what I mean?
Sure,
but like,
sure.
That's what a waste of a theater, but it's there already. So I think
may
that's
well
kind of,
do it.
But new theaters opening up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a Tivoli model like we have here.
Right.
A big, huge IMAX or something screen. And
with
a couple
like two or three smaller screens.
Yeah. The sides just to play the indie
and
stuff.
And more boutique driven towards, jacking up concession sales.
Yeah.
Looking at more.
Well, if they're
going to
do
per
that,
caps.
That's fine. But get better candy.
Yeah.
So the movie that did it, of course, we mentioned Space Jam: A New Legacy. It's estimated, because of course the weekend's not over, but it's going to be a tight race, but it's estimated 26.4 million, and that's for a movie that's not even premier access. That's free
HBO
Max.
If you have HBO Max,
if you have it. So here's the deal, HBO Max, I know everyone's like, "Oh, it's so expensive." It's a great value, but I get it, 15 a month, but
it adds up.
But,
there's cause so many platforms out there now.
But
right.
Take your kids to the movies and see if you can get two tickets for $15, nonetheless, a $7 popcorn and a $4 snowcat.
And they want to play stupid video games.
So that's impressive to me that $26 million when it is included with HBO Max. And of course, they haven't released the numbers yet, but I think it's going to be huge, maybe the biggest opening because you've got something aimed at nostalgia, which is all the rage right now, and a kids movie.
Well,
so,
and it's nostalgia like fourfold. Right.
Oh, exactly.
Because it's like
Looney Tunes.
It's Looney Tunes, so it's your grandparents watch Bugs Bunny.
Right.
You know, so it checks a lot of nostalgia boxes for pretty much is there anyone alive who didn't grow up watching Bugs Bunny at this point?
I mean, it's impossible.
Not many.
No.
So you've got the nostalgia of multiple generations. You have the basketball crowd, the LeBron James fans, the Looney Tunes fans, and it's a kids movie, right? And so I think that it's going to do huge, and I'm excited for them to release those numbers. But still, 26.4 million is really big. And
do you think you could pull off a Looney Tunes movie without a live action person in it?
So sure,
I feel like every Looney Tunes movie we've gotten so far, it's the original Space Jam, and then Looney Tunes Back in Action, which was Brendan Fraser and the gal from Dharma and Greg.
I think they just don't have the right script yet because, I mean, Simpsons movie, right? And I know Simpsons were more beloved, and especially at the time,
that
than
was
Looney
so
Tunes.
Mistimed. That movie should have come out 20 years
ago.
Well,
sure, but it's always been the problem is how do we get people to pay for something that's free?
Sure, right.
That's a network show. But the Simpsons movie made a ton of money. And and there have been other animated movies that have made big money, and I think they could do it with the right script.
I think the problem you have is that Looney Tunes has always been, it evolved out of shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, right? sure.
So you don't really know, like, what's your plot? Like,
it's gag-based comedy.
Yeah, and it's harder to put together a plot, and that's why they've always kind of do these
regurgitate the same
live action thing of right. Like,
give them a real plot.
Now
with
they're
Looney Tunes
now
injected.
They're in the real world. Yeah. What are we gonna do? And like instead of because they're. Even though all those Looney Tunes characters would interact, it wasn't like a shared universe in the modern sense.
And each cartoon would be on its own. It's
right.
A Daffy cartoon.
You may have
Bugs
a guest
cartoon.
Star.
And there wouldn't always even be continuity from cartoon to cartoon.
Right.
It was just they treated them. I mean, again, they were coming out. They were like what you used to call two-reelers.
Right.
And so it was they were treated as if they were performers, and they would drop them into a new premise
right.
And then let it run. They didn't worry about what happened in the last one. So there's not like this kind of universe to pull story ideas from. And, you know, I was thinking about this while I was watching Space Jam, which is like they need a Jason Segel.
Yeah. You know what? I was looking at that poster and I was like, that's exactly what they
need.
And
I was thinking too, they need a Muppet movie.
Yeah,
they need
to
get them all back together for some big movie, whatever, and they can meta it that way.
Right.
But then at least it would give them a reason to go gather. Like, because the reason I thought of that was because in the movie, they kind of really quick Muppet movie it. Let's go find each one and pick them up. And I thought that could be a movie. And it doesn't have to revolve around a Space Jam game. Just, you know, let's get them together for the new Looney Tunes show. And then they could even premiere on HBO Max, have a Looney Tunes show.
Yeah. I think they have
the cartoon.
Like
they've tried to reboot it a couple times. Yeah. And the one where Kristen Wiig was doing Lola Bunny, I thought that was pretty good, but it just didn't click with people like they had hoped.
Sure.
So Black Widow, again, I mean, these are just estimates and it's close, but $25.9 million is its estimated week two.
And I guess they don't
68% drop. For
a
Marvel
That's
movie a that you know started out at not even that high at 40 or whatever,
and I
it
guess
was.
They don't give you the Disney Plus money.
They released the Disney Plus.
Yeah, week one it was like 40 million. It matched it almost.
Okay,
so I mean that was really impressive and shows that it can work. I mean, I think Marvel. The key is to do it with a Marvel movie,
right?
You know what I mean? It's
not
a shame
Mulan.
It's a shame some of those. And I liked Mulan, but it's a shame that some of those got kind of buried because it's like there wasn't the demand. Where this is, I mean, Marvel is. As big as it gets when it comes to movies. That's it. Escape Room opened to 8.8 million, which I think is like half of what the original did. Again, different times we're in now, but you know, that's not going to break 10 where people were originally predicting it would. F9, 6.6 million is a 42% drop. That one is up to 154 million domestic. So, you know, as far as those movies go, they're still kind of.
I mean, we're going to get what, two more?
But overseas, I remember when this one opened here, it had already done $300 million overseas.
Yeah,
which is double what it's done now for 4 weeks in theaters.
Right,
so you know, but they're huge overseas still. The action stuff, Boss Baby, 4.9 million, another movie
that's
you can
that's
watch
on a streaming service
on Peacock. Right?
Yeah. Right,
so that's what's so strange about these is a lot of these are out and they're still making money.
That app is atrocious.
Yeah.
So like. Did I tell you this? They've merged with the WWE Network, but if you want to watch like a Raw from 2002,
it's in season.
You have to figure out what season it is, and it's like twelve. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that works, and then you gotta figure it out. It's awful. It's the whole setup is terrible.
You're the only one using that, so they're just
at this table. Yeah,
well, like someone's trying to watch Raw again. Let's. Fire up the Raw
servers.
This guy's
watched six of them in a row. Jesus.
Number six, The Forever Purge, 3.7 million still hanging in there. 35.7
million. Didn't even know that
came
out.
It's good.
Was it?
I thought it was one of the better ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Is Frank Grillo in it?
No.
Nah,
it follows a new, but it's good. It really, I liked it a lot. A Quiet Place 2, another one that now that's the 30-day, 30 or 45
It's on Paramount
window.
Now.
It's on Paramount Plus, yeah. So you can watch that at home, but also it made another $2.3 million. So good for that one, only a 27% drop. So, and I think if you're going to go to the theater and see one that, I mean, that was a great
That was a great theatrical experience.
Yeah,
here's the question,
though. But the problem with seeing A Quiet Place in the theaters is that it's quiet. Uh-huh. And so the other movies are bleeding in.
Oh, right.
But, like, was it a great theater experience, or was it a great theater experience because we hadn't been to the movies in a year?
No, I think it was great. I mean, I had been back a few times, but...
Oh, okay.
But
that was the first one I'd
seen. Okay, yeah, no, I had been back, but I think it was really great because of the sound mixing is so good in the movie, so when it is really quiet, and
sure.
then you've got the surround sound, and, of course, the big picture. I mean, that was, to me, I think watching it at home... Still would have been like, oh, that was a good movie, but I wouldn't have been like, man, that was an experience. Like,
yeah,
I really enjoyed everything, like all the sound mixing and everything that went into it.
Okay.
Next up, Cruella. So that's a Premier Access one, but people are going to the theater still for that. 41% drop with $1.4 million. That's an $83 million domestic, so still making some theater money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let me count here because there's no number. I just want to make sure I don't go over 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, number 9, Roadrunner. The Anthony Bourdain documentary.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, no.
Like, I thought it was like a Space Jam thing. Like, see the Roadrunner movie and Space Jam.
That's made $1 million, and there's some controversy surrounding that. What do you guys think about this? So,
I guess I don't know what
the movie is about. Anthony Bourdain, who passed away a few years ago, of course, and just about his life and everything. And there are some emails that he wrote, and they
Is it
used,
to Asia Argento?
There's some stuff surrounding that, and there's controversy enough around that, but they want the director who did Won't You Be My Neighbor,
okay,
which was great. He really wanted that in Bourdain's voice
okay.
for like narration,
mm-hmm.
but Bourdain never said it,
right.
So they used AI. They made a dead person read something that they wrote, mm-hmm. but that they never read.
I guess I don't know. So like if it's his words... And they mimic his voice,
but
I don't see a problem.
Well, but you're like, making a performance out of...
They didn't mimic his... Like, they didn't hire somebody to sound like him. They, like, I guess went through back catalogs of the audio because there's so much...
Analyzed 100 hours of his recordings.
I know that they were talking about when Roger Ebert was still alive, they were talking about doing that with him, like, so he could, like, type things out and it would talk in his voice.
Oh, sure,
that
sure,
They were like, you're one of the few people that there's so much audio of your voice
you
that
can
exists.
Make any word you wanted.
So if any of us ever lose our voice, well, we've got all this audio.
Ta-da.
Still, right?
I guess I don't have a problem with that. Like if it was, I don't know, if it's somebody, if they're doing that with the person's own words,
yeah,
that they wrote.
I think I feel okay about it because it's his own words.
Yeah. If,
like,
if they
get, were
like,
writing
Abraham Lincoln
something,
reading.
The Gettysburg Address.
Yeah,
like
or
that's,
something. Yeah.
You know, but if they had Abraham Lincoln
reading
the novelization of Deep Throat.
Actually.
Although, now that I say it out loud.
I think...
Trademark real spoilers.
It's weird. I mean, I still feel weird about it. I get it. I think it's like one of the lesser egregious things. But
yeah.
People
I think
worried.
The Paul Walker thing is more egregious than that.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, what's the difference between inserting a dead Star Wars actor into a movie?
Yeah. And not reading lines that they wrote.
I mean, at least you know he's playing a role.
Yeah.
But still, what's the difference?
And like the Paul Walker thing, in which one did he die in?
Hey, man,
Seven,
I grew
eight.
Up when they were having Fred Astaire dance with a dirt
vacuum.
Devil.
Yeah.
So like that,
that's
this,
what people are comparing this
yeah,
to,
this
and they don't like
fine.
That either.
Yeah, that was this seems way better than that.
So I think it can be
dangerous given deep fakes and things like
but
that.
But I think that's what they're saying is that this may be the lesser side of egregiousness, but they're worried that it's only a stone's throw away from
sure.
totally recreating things, and then people question because this is a documentary. They're not necessarily worried about it for films, and that's what I meant to say when you're talking about Star Wars and stuff. Tom, is it a bathroom break? But they are worried about this is a documentary, and when you watch a documentary,
right,
you tend to think documentaries are nonfiction. They're true.
Well, then for the most part.
And so if
yeah.
you're hearing a recording and you think someone says that, like you heard their voice saying it, you're just getting into this dangerous territory of documentaries having AI things. And then what other documentaries are, well, they did this, now I can have them. Oh, well, he always said this to his friends, so we'll have him say it. But
I see what
it's on
saying.
Secondhand accounts. And then, well, let's recreate this photo that he was there a lot, but we don't have a photo of him. Let's put it in there because he was always there and everyone said he was there.
That's the old.
Let's put him standing at the fish and chip stand, you know, but he was never there. But, you know, he always loved that place.
I think.
And then, well, he was doing that. So let's make him walk in this scene that he was. You're just, you know what I mean?
I see. I definitely see your point. I think if you can verify in a documentary, at least, where it's like he wrote this.
Yeah.
This is his handwriting. We're just going to have him read it. That's not as bad.
Do they acknowledge it in the context of the film?
No.
Oh,
they don't acknowledge
that's
it.
Not
no
okay.
one said it until the documentary director said it and was all willy-nilly. Like, yeah, we did this because I wanted him to read. You know what I mean? And
yeah, that's so different. Yeah, that feels like there should be some acknowledgement within the film. The same way that you watch a documentary, you'll see recreation.
Right.
That's what, because when you were on your break, I said, well, the problem is not the Star Wars stuff and Paul Walker. This is a documentary.
Yeah.
And so people feel weird that's about, true. Well, in a documentary, then are we going to start having, well, he was at this place, but we don't have a photo. Let's make a photo. He was always there. And then, you know what I mean? What are you going to do in a documentary?
All of
then,
a sudden, he's the one that murdered JonBenet Ramsey.
So anyway, but that made $1 million. I heard it's really good, but it's got a lot of controversy surrounding that, which you wouldn't think
she
be
I will say, I mean, she has dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
like
that's
she's,
what more
she's
the,
gone
the people that aren't so vexed about the narration thing are like, well, what we really need to talk about is this, you know, they didn't interview
his daughter.
They didn't interview her. They like didn't even they said it was egregious that she was not even in the documentary.
Oh, they're not that they were. Because that was the thing for a while, right? Is like people were blaming her, for his kind of like his mental state at
but
that.
But they
point.
Didn't even like. I don't even know if they didn't touch about it or they didn't get her for it. Like, how would you not even have any? I don't know, but you know, watch it and see it.
Yeah,
I don't
I'll
know.
Take a look at it.
I already had good reviews, but now it's getting all that craziness. And rounding out the box office, number 10, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard with 900,000.
Did that come out too?
It did a few weeks ago. 45% drop. It's made $36.8 million. And that's
did anyone see
comments.
That? Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess we should need to dig in for our escape room review before the time gets away from
well,
us.
Well, it's not going to take long.
Yeah.
People show up for some escape
Man.
Rooms. Some escape, some don't.
I did not like this movie.
Really? Did you like the first one?
Enough, right? Like, I thought it was like, okay, it's Saw, but PG-13.
But I feel like I feel like this movie is, like, if you like the first one, how do you know?
I thought because this was better than the first one.
Oh, really?
I did.
This was intense. Like, I was like,
oh, I think what what I had an easier time with was the first one I was still fighting, like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, sure.
And this time I was, like, going in saying, this is ridiculous. And so I was able to just be like, okay,
this is ridiculous.
This company can do anything, anywhere, anytime.
That's exactly.
And so it's like, at the end of the first one, when that was their solution, was like, oh, there's an omnipotent corporation with unlimited funds.
Right.
And I'm just like, really? Like,
I was just
okay, whatever.
Super
but,
bored.
And... But I think it really benefits from being 88 minutes.
It is a quick movie.
You know, it's tight. And
they got to the end, and it was really the end. They didn't have another 30 minutes. You know,
which is what I thought we were going to get.
Epilogue. Totally. I agree, Tom. I liked the first one. I thought it was fun. This one was more of, I like puzzles. I like the idea of escape rooms. Like, I grew up playing games like The Seventh Guest and Myst and Riven, I think, was the sequel to Myst. And I may be getting that wrong. But those games were escape rooms. You would be put on an island, put in a house, and you would solve puzzles, whether it would be a chessboard with skulls and The Seventh Guest or Myst trying to get off this island, get to different parts. Escape room, that's what escape rooms are in real life, is just rooms with puzzles. And so I thought the stuff they came up with was clever. It was entertaining. Again,
I still wish the puzzles were a little bit easier for us to play along with.
Yeah,
That's my biggest complaint about both of these movies.
Yeah,
is that they make it a little difficult to play along now.
But the thing is, once we've gotten, like, we understand that it's absurd. And the puzzles are ridiculous. And the fact that, are these people like world class puzzle solvers? I get their
Kevin. It's tournament.
I know.
They've already done this once.
I get that they're the champions. But my point is that, like, The puzzles are ridiculous. But once you get that out of the way, I had a lot of fun just listening to them solve the puzzle, though, because they explain it along the way.
Yeah.
And every time they just came up with this ridiculous answer that no one under pressure could think of.
And they always get it right on the first try.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So like,
have you ever done an escape room?
Yes.
Like an actual real life?
No.
Yeah. They're fun. But like, yeah, there's a lot of trial and error.
Of course.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so like the fact that every time they're like, oh, I think it means this. And then that's what it means.
Yeah.
Like, but I also get that like, you know, a two-hour movie
how
of them,
boring would
of
that
them
be?
Getting it wrong would be frustrating.
And
but.
So I liked it. I liked that they would call out what, you know, what they were doing, and I thought it was clever.
I think if you watch this movie again, that there's a lot of foreshadowing in the background of this film.
Really?
Okay. Like, I think, like the ads.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
Like, the ads on the subway. Are, I think, all hint at the things they're going to end up, the challenges they're going to get later
because,
in the movie.
Because the at the resolution of the film, when you find out what the puzzles are all based on, someone's real life, they did set up all, you're right. They
right,
set up all
and like, you know, the psychiatrist at the beginning is in front of a lighthouse. I think that they hid things like that throughout the movie, which is like,
and she says that too, right? Like everything's a clue. Everything you
and
look
I picked
at
up on
clue.
That too, because I'm like, this is the type of movie when they say this is a clue, this is a clue, this is a clue. That's not just
it's going to be a clue,
right?
Yeah,
and
but
so,
I forgot about it, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah. So I think it's maybe a little bit more clever than we're giving it credit for. It's you know,
yeah, but and I love. I mean, we'll get there, but I love the ending because
that was the I will say
I love
that's,
the ending
is,
when they flash back and she you know what would
is,
it take you and
it
they,
is
I'm like
a,
they freaking did it like,
it's a Saw ending right like it is the ending of a Saw movie so we are like a couple of years past the ending of the first one. Our main character is in therapy and she's, you know, she can't fly because she's freaked out about flying because she feels like.
So what was the end of the first one? Was that a dream? Because I thought that was a real thing that happened when the plane was a simulation. But I guess I missed what
I
that...
know. I was trying to remember, too, because I thought it ended with her on a plane and it was
because
like.
Because they were screwed. Like they were doing the simulation to get them. I thought that was real life.
Yeah.
So I none
weird.
Of us picked up on that because that's how the first ends. And they even show it, I think, in this one in a flashback.
Yeah.
But then she's like, I still haven't flown. So I'm like, what was
that? Well, the flashback I think they show is her, the plane crashing with her mom, right?
No. But they go into a plane and then like the windows when they go to the pilots are all screens. Like they.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. But okay. I don't know. But if we, I just thought. Like, yeah.
So she can't fly is what the bottom line is. But she wants to get back to New York to take out the Minos Corporation. Mm-hmm. From ever doing this again, her therapist is like, "You're crazy." Like,
because remember, they covered it up in the first one.
Yes,
I think the other one, it's a plane, but they're not on it, right?
Like, but is it a plane with different characters?
Yeah, like I think it was like they're still doing it. Maybe.
Oh, I thought it was those two. Okay, maybe I thought it was those two got on a plane because she was
okay.
Going...
Wikipedia says they agree to go to Manhattan, and then it says, however, the puzzle maker is already preparing to make their flight a new deadly game of survival.
Oh, they're making the flight. They're making the flight.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
yes,
and
yes.
Then now we find out that she never got on that plane
got
because
it.
She was scared
they
to
were
fly.
Preparing it yes. for her. And are still preparing. I just think
no,
it's
they
so...
they prepared and executed.
I know. I just think it's so clever that it came back around and you're not even thinking of that.
That's fair. I'll
you
give you
that. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, that's
absolutely.
Like, holy crap, they showed us.
Yeah.
They showed us in the last one. They told us. They showed us the things. And then they pulled it off. Like, that was kudos. So basically, they finally decide to go to New York, but they can't fly because the main character is scared of that. So her and Ben go to drive to New York. And along the way, we see that they both have, like, the PTSD, which, of course, they would after that experience.
Yeah.
And, like, he's having nightmares, waking up in a cold sweat of, like, the hotel room's going to crush him. And you know, so they're obviously very freaked out by this. They get to New York. They follow this warehouse that embedded in the symbol for Minos. They found the coordinates of this warehouse in New York. Trucks are going in and out for 3 days, they say, so they stake it out. While they're there, there's some kind of a homeless person.
It was like a dude, and he snatches like her locket.
The necklace
her mom
gave her.
I thought that was the thing that Deborah Ann Woll gave her. But I guess it wasn't because like they're chasing after this guy. And then this is the part where I was like, oh, I didn't because they didn't put her in the cast at all. They didn't advertise that Deborah Ann Woll was in this movie.
Well,
spoilers.
What I don't like is I went on IMDb and she's third listed.
Oh,
I'm like,
really?
Why would you do that in this
so
movie?
They're running through the subway and they knock out like and this is the part where I was like they. Like, she's in this movie, right? So they're running through the subway, and every time that they bump into somebody while they're chasing after this guy, you see their face. Like, you see these
people. They knock into her?
They knock into a redheaded woman.
I know they knock into a woman.
But you never see her face. Like, okay. Her hair goes into her face. And I was like, well, that's...
The way they held on it, I thought the same thing. Yeah. I go, was that, like, a cameo from someone? Like, because when they're running through the subway station, they knock into a woman, and they hold on the woman they knocked into.
Yes, but you never see it. Like, her hair is in her face, and she has, like, red hair. Deborah Ann Woll, I think, had red hair, or at least, like, a strawberry blonde hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's weird. Well, all right, and then they keep going.
That's when you watch it again. Yeah. I bet you'd look in it.
Yeah. So the guy tricks them into getting on the subway car.
This is the only thing that, with suspension of disbelief and all that, how did they get all the Tournament of Champions to ride the same subway car?
Yeah.
No matter what the destination is, yeah, sure, they all were going to whatever they were going. You'd be in different cars. They got all of them and then lured Ben and what's the main character's name?
Zoe. Not even close.
They got Ben and Zoe to go into that car with the other four champions.
Yeah.
And only the champions were in that car. So
yes.
I don't really get how you line that up, but
either way, they get into this car and they're flying down the subway and this car uncouples and this is where we get our first clue, our first game
puzzle.
And I thought the action sequences, like the suspense of
I thought they did a good job.
I thought it was really good. Like, Ryan had never seen the first one. I'm like, escape room, some people survive, okay, that's all you really need.
Right,
but he was like,
and they recap
he was looking at me like, oh,
that
my
was
God,
an old
so
school recap too.
That
right?
was an old school recap.
That was like a recap you used to get before home video.
Yes,
right,
like,
if you hadn't seen the movie. That's what I said to Ryan. I go, they're gonna show you what happened in the last one anyway, and I'm like, oh, look at that,
there it is, ta-da.
So I really, though, he kept turning to me. He's like, this is so intense. I'm like, yeah, this is actually really good.
Man,
so,
I was, like, checked out the whole time.
So, the train is, like, going super fast towards the end of the subway, and then they put the brakes on, and this is the first puzzle.
Yeah, they electrify the car, and they have to figure out these tokens, and they get the first clue, which
so
is
there's an
of
escape,
a bag.
Emergency, like, escape hatch at the bottom, and they realize, well, we got to get out of that somehow. And then they bust open. There was a clue that said, like,
something about words being
alert
misspelled.
Alert the MTA
if
you
find
a
package. Yeah.
And so they went to the front conductor's cabin, and there's a thing that's with tokens with 9 on it. She's like, we got to find 9 tokens. And then the puzzle of it was that things are misspelled, and so they find all the missing letters and have to pull
the
handles.
But then, like, all the handles are in alphabetical order, so you have to pull the right handle.
Yep, and they've got a token that pops out.
And every time you pull it down, it gets more and more electrified.
Yeah.
Like, that's the bottom line. And then, so the last one.
So there's 6 people. Each escape room that Minos does, and they always have 6 people, and they're in different categories. So, like, the last movie, the main characters were all survivors. In this movie, of course, they're champions. And I think that was the only correlation they found.
That was
right?
it, yeah. And then everything else is set to Sophia.
Right. And so you have 3 male, 3 female, just to kind of, like, set it up. And you've got a guy.
We got to make your kill count even.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way that works.
So you've got a guy that, like, lost his hearing in one of the games. You have a woman that was a social influencer that was scarred. You have a woman that had no feeling, and I don't think she had really any other, but she was good.
That was the weird one, where they're just like, all of us didn't feel things. So they put us all in the escape
room
together.
But I mean, that's good for people that get hurt, and they're like, okay, I can keep doing the puzzle.
Right, right.
It
means you're getting hurt and you don't know it. And so,
react like, oh, I just got hurt. Let me, like, jump.
Yeah,
and,
but pain serves a purpose, right?
Course,
if you touch
course.
Something hot and it hurts, you will then stop touching it.
Right.
And so, like, it's very dangerous to not.
It's very, yes, extremely
the
dangerous.
The issue that I think I took with this one is, I think I was more interested in the people in the first one, right?
And a priest guy. Just round
yeah,
out.
Right.
Yeah,
the guy who's the kid from Empire Records and Dazed and Confused? Who was that actor?
I can't remember.
The guy who's, like, the super stoner, not Matthew McConaughey, but, like, the kid who was, like, the super stoner kid in Dazed and Confused.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Rory?
I can't remember.
But that's who I thought this guy was.
I could see
and
it.
I was like, well, that's
I'm
weird.
Like, why is the, like, and the... Yes, the priest has model good looks.
He's a good looking man. Like,
Come on, come on.
But, like, I cared about Tyler Labine and Deborah Ann Woll and Zoe. So, like, there was more of a connection to those characters.
I liked
the first
Tyler
one.
Labine too, because it was like there was somebody older in the group. It, like,
yes.
This was all just young people,
and I was just like,
and I like it was. Well, that doesn't. You make sense.
It is nice when you have an actor you like, though, because, like, I watched True Blood and I watched Daredevil, so Deborah Ann Woll.
Oh, sure.
Two shows that I watched
and
I liked.
And I was like that with Tyler Labine. Yeah. I watched Reaper
Such
and Invasion,
show.
And
oh.
And he was on both of those shows, and so like I like him a lot. He's always mystified me that he has not found that role. Yeah.
That first season of Reaper is a perfect season.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. So they get out of that one, and they get into an elevator.
Well, we lose the deaf guy.
We lose the hearing impaired.
That's the thing is like you're gonna lose somebody. I think that was the other thing about the first one is you know that Zoe's your main character, but you've also got Tyler Labine, who's a fairly like recognizable person.
Yeah, you've seen him.
Deborah Ann Woll is fairly recognizable, so you're just like, well, they're not going to kill everybody off, and then they do, maybe.
Yeah.
But in this one, you're just like, you're all going to die.
Yeah.
Like I know it's like watching a Friday the 13th movie. It's like, oh, that's the final girl. I don't care about any of the rest of you.
But then I wish they would have brought in. Not bigger names, but more recognizable faces.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I would
agree
with that.
Bring in one of the girls from Pretty Little Liars. How expensive could that
be? Go get somebody from the Arrowverse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like somebody like that.
It's good to put faces in there and then kill them off because then you go, no one's safe.
Right.
So I kind of like what they did in this, although it's a bait and switch, but I'm like, good, kill off someone that we care about because that shows you the danger amps up. But to their credit, though, if they don't reveal it's a twist until the end, then the danger still feels ramped up while you're watching
sure.
it. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, twist-a-roo.
Twist-a-roo.
So the
next one is the bank vault.
Isn't the next one the beach? Do they go to the bank vault?
Bank vaults, yeah, because they drop down and they walk through.
Okay.
And that's like something out of Resident Evil.
I was thinking Harry Potter. I'm like, wait,
it wasn't
Gringotts?
Bad. Like, that was a decent trap.
Can't believe there's no Gringotts joke. Like, they're like, oh, there's like a bank underground. I'm like, that's what Gringotts is.
And they figure that one out. That one... If the priest wouldn't be such a dick, like, could have figured it out
fairly
quickly.
Yeah, but he was
quickly.
Struggling with his faith. Like, I liked that the theme carried through. Like, that was the pro. Like, his thing, whole thing was that he lost his faith in God. And so he's like, well, maybe I can find it and see, like, I don't know why I survived. I don't think I deserve to survive out of the last room. And, like, if I'm going to find my faith, I'm going to trust it. And he does really well until
the last possible second.
Yeah. I liked this one, though.
This
I liked
one was
the laser
actually,
grids.
I think this was my favorite trap.
It
which
felt
is pretty good.
Like the danger was real.
Yeah.
And they kept amping it up. And then there were more triggers. So, like, as they walked on tiles, the lasers would start. But then they had to find keys and these lollipops. And they go to open the lockers. And then after they opened the lockers that had a name on it, the counters had press pads on them.
Yeah.
So then they would step on the counters to get back and the lasers came up.
It is very much a Saw mentality where it's just like
you're solving it, but it's going to get more dangerous,
correct,
right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And so they get out of that one and then they go to the beach.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we lose like three people?
So
at
we
the
don't
beach?
Lose anyone at the bank because they save the priest guy. You
right.
thought, and that's what I also like too. Is you're like, okay, one's going to get picked off. Like,
right.
So no, the priest carries forward. I'm like, well, that's cool. But then they pretty quickly lose him.
Oh yeah, that's right. We do lose him at the beach.
Yeah.
And this is their, you know, again, I think.
But the non-feeling girl saves him at the bank because she holds him up when he's about to die. So when she starts sinking in the beach quicksand, he dives in after her.
Right.
So
uses the anchor or whatever. Yeah. And yeah.
You would think her not feeling pain, she would have led with that during the electric part.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, hey, just touch that. Well, that's a good
vibrations
question.
Vibrations and stuff.
But
like, you
probably,
still
get hit.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't feel it.
Well,
your body
same with the stove
shock.
And the upcoming acid rain.
Yeah, but I mean, like.
But getting electrocuted, though, is so much more than feeling, like, the vibrations of your body. You know, even a little shock.
I gotta tell
you,
it sucks.
Yeah.
I've been tased. It's the worst.
Like in training?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
sure.
Not enjoy
training.
Yeah, training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that goes
dry
so far beyond the feeling because your whole body's, like, seizing up.
Yeah, it sucks. Maybe someday I'll post it to the Facebook page.
Oh, you recorded it?
Oh, that sounds like a good. Usage of
Patreon. Yeah, right.
So yeah, they read a clue that's like, oh, you need to drop anchor at this whatever bay where they are,
right?
And so they find,
so they immediately poop.
Yeah,
bloop.
Yeah. So I would have. I gotta tell you.
Yeah,
yeah. Also, the idea that quicksand. There was a comedian. That was John Mulaney. Who was like, I was growing up.
Quicksand would
play a much bigger role in my life. Yeah. And then in this one, quicksand plays a pretty.
Well,
big
we
role.
We haven't seen quicksand in a movie.
I haven't seen quicksand like Indiana
was
Jones.
It,
or
was
something.
It in that? I don't even know if Indiana Jones ever did quicksand. But
Blazing Saddles.
was there quicksand in that most recent Laura Croft movie?
Is that the one where they drop all the way through?
I kind of
like.
Remember.
Isn't that there's something? Oh
I
no,
feel
it was
like
Dora.
Was it
Dora? It was
okay.
Dora. Yeah.
Okay.
Where they just they go into the quicksand and then they drop all the way to the bottom and it
bottoms out. Yeah, I knew
we'd
seen quicksand. I couldn't remember if it was that or I was also thinking one of the Jumanji movies. Maybe did.
I'm sure there's probably one in there. Yeah, no, yeah.
Maybe
I think
what? It was either Dora or Jumanji.
Yeah, I
think
it was Dora.
I just remember, are we getting smaller or is the world getting bigger? And I'm not going to lose a $500 hand cart. This movie's so good.
That movie's very good.
So they, some of them, they notice there's a lighthouse with a telescope on it. They're trying to do the anchor thing. And then there's some mannequins on the beach, a mother and a daughter. The mother has seashells over the eye. So they end up putting together all the clues. They get into this place. They have to open a fridge that won't open. It needs a power cord. And then Ben figures out that there's a clue about seeing something.
Look up or whatever.
So it's like blind love and there's I can't see you or it says
yeah, I can't see you. Yeah. So he's like, oh, the mannequin had the seashells. So he goes like and meanwhile the whole place is sinking collapsing.
Yeah.
And he goes over to the mom mannequin, pulls off a seashell, gets the power cord.
And then we lose Ben.
Opens a refrigerator, Indiana Jones.
I was just thinking the same thing, yeah.
Zoe's up top looking into the telescope. That's how they got the I can't see you clue. But then there's also a moon that's illuminated. And she's like, oh, well, this maybe if I can take this moon off the wall and like get behind it, not part of the trap, but I can actually get out of, you know, how
they think it's a
to.
Way to get out.
Like, it's an alternate exit that they didn't want them
not
to find.
Part of the
it's
game.
It's a safety exit.
Yeah. Wow. So they
seems useless in a
there's still fire codes.
Yeah. Fire codes.
I was kind of stupid.
So this is not passing inspection.
We were talking
death
about
trap
this movie
escape room
on the radio on Friday, and I completely ruined escape rooms for one of the hosts, Julie Buck, and she's like, "I don't like escape rooms. I don't want to get
exit signs."
She's like, "I don't want to get locked in a room. I won't do them." I was like, "Well, they don't really lock the door," and she's like, "No, it's a escape." I was like, "I mean, it would be a fire hazard. They can't lock people in a room and say, tough,
good
you
luck.
Know, you're stuck until you figure out the puzzle." And she was just like deflated. Like,
the
she
fun
had
of it
a,
is you want to solve the puzzle, but you could leave.
Yeah, like the door is unlocked. Like, you could just go over and open the door.
It's okay.
Like,
it's, they're not going to lock
you
in.
I'm sure people have freaked out. That's why they got to
no
do
doubt,
it.
No doubt. Yeah. But,
so
she tears the moon off, and there's, like we said, an escape hatch.
She's yelling down to the fridge people, "Get up here," and they're like,
ways out at this point. And then the girl who feels no pain, they both go out the escape hatch, and I think the other girl goes
in the fridge at the last minute after, but meanwhile Ben's like, "Oh my god, we gotta go."
The travel blogger.
So Ben's like climbing up the lighthouse stairs,
and I do like that where like the
it's retracting
the ladder
cool
is like going in.
So he gets his hand pinched, and that's the when you feel pain and you get hurt, you're like, "Oh," and he dropped off. Boop. And he sinks down to the sand, and we get all these flashbacks, and this is where I'm like, that's what I've been waiting for. Give me a character that we actually like and care about to die to show you how dangerous this is. Otherwise, you know,
what's
traditionally, you've got main characters. You're like, well, they can't kill
it's
off.
Final Girls, right?
Right.
Like, that's the same thing.
I mean,
yeah.
that's why the Drew Barrymore thing in Scream was so
amazing.
Oh,
that was huge.
Because,
Janet Leigh.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you don't know who's safe and who's not. So anyway, it's the, so now it's the three women are left, right? So they've killed off that we think. Ben's in the sand.
So we think that they get out and Zoe and the other girl.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that the gal from You're Next in the Sacrament, but it's not who that is.
Other girl is Rachel, just for
what's
her
real name?
Oh, Colin Roden.
Okay, so Rachel. Yeah. Perfect. So they get
she's
out.
She's on Teen Wolf, I can't believe, for 6 years.
That show is garbage.
I thought you watched that.
No, hell no. Oh. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Would I ever watch a teen drama like
I thought you
sexy
liked,
teen drama?
I thought you liked those wolf type of those.
Yeah. With Michael J. Fox in it.
Okay.
That's
and
what
Jason
I like.
Bateman.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I
so
will
anyway.
Say, Tyler Hoechlin, who was on Teen Wolf, is Superman, and he's great.
I heard that show's good.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
It's so good.
He's
wonderful as Superman.
I am not even caught up on Flash, which is the best one. But
it's not the best one.
They got too CWE for me, so I was just
so
like,
here's what I will say about Superman and Lois. It has a lot of the elements of a CW show, but it's got like the budget of like a Next,
right?
It's a little higher,
decent, but yeah,
yes, it's really good.
But the writing and the heart, like what I love about Flash, even though it does get corny, is that you like the characters so much. It's so good of a you know,
this Superman and Lois. It's funny when twin sons, Jonathan and Jordan, and I was like, okay, Jonathan, I get. Why the hell did you name him Jordan? And then Clark tells he's like, I named you after my other dad, and I was like,
I see it. I guess you can't name him Jor-El. That'd be weird,
right?
But yes, it's very
today's world to be weird.
I guess that's true.
So I like this next one a lot. That they go into the acid rain. I thought this was really cool.
Yeah, they think they're out into a cityscape. They think they're getting away. It turns out much like the airplane from the first movie.
They see people in cars.
Impressively well done digital screens.
And the other girl who actually, I mean, she escaped, so she got to the next room like the normal way, like a little faster. And so she was already there trying to figure stuff out. Just like, guys, this is not
acid rain is bad.
Get undercover.
Like,
so
they figured this one out as well.
They have to get into a phone booth.
I will say, two best kills of the movie.
Yeah.
This one is like, they're going to melt the shit out of him.
This had some good kills in it.
Especially for PG-13.
Yeah. I think this was the electricity guy was meh. The Ben sinking was whatever. There was like, we lost two
the
people.
Electricity
in the
was pretty good because they held on it for a long
That's fair.
Time.
He did.
He got fried.
That's
true.
That's a good point.
I was surprised in this one especially, though, where I'm just like, I know it was PG-13 and pulled back, but I'm like, They sort of melted some people.
Two people. Like, I know. They're just piles of goop.
So, they have to get into a phone booth, and there's some clues that say, like, there's a jeweler, pick up on the third ring.
You know how you could tell it was PG-13 very early in the movie?
No.
The rating thing came up.
Well, okay. They don't put that before.
I know.
He didn't light the cigarette.
Oh.
Did he? He lit it, but didn't take a drag off of
he
it.
He didn't light it.
He went to light it, and just stopped him before he could even. I actually saw that and I'm like, cigarettes in movies. That's refreshing. Cause I'm like, you just don't see that.
Yeah.
And I'm not like so against, like, I guess smoking is bad, but I'm like, come on, people smoke. Like, that's a thing. And so I was actually.
Well, my first thought was like, did we see him smoke in the first one? And I was just like, we're just setting up the fact that they have a cigarette lighter. Like, that's all we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
I think maybe because he's just like a scuzzy dude.
Yeah. I just don't remember him smoking in the first one. I mean, maybe he did. But probably not, though, right? Like, if it was PG-13 as well.
Can
I mean,
you,
I guess I could have shown him with
Can you show with a cigarette in your hand?
I guess they did.
I'm not sure where he was holding it.
Well,
never,
like in the first one. Or, I mean, in PG-13 in general.
I'm not sure. I just know that
can't show them smoking, I don't think.
Yeah.
But holding one that's
I think
not
that
lit,
was
isn't.
The big thing with Constantine.
Yeah.
Is like, you never saw him smoke on screen, but he was always putting it out.
Yeah.
Like, stuffing it out.
Yeah,
so
tricky. I mean, it's clever. So they get into the phone booth. They hear a thing that opens the taxi cab, but the acid rain's already coming. And Zoe gets in the car, but then they don't. It locks behind her.
Yes.
So they are trying to hide, but all the awnings, because it's been two or three rounds of acid rain, there's nowhere to hide. The phone booth's locked.
They
hold each other and
goop.
I like how she's like, "Don't let them win. Don't let them. You know,
Giddy.
don't basically like don't cry or scream." And I'm like, "Well, it's real easy for the chick that doesn't feel pain."
I thought the chick that doesn't feel pain was gonna human shield her.
Yeah.
So the rain could hit her like back and at least like give her one.
That would have been a nice thing. That would have been a good move.
Yeah.
That's a Titanic thing where
she
it's like,
can't
hey,
feel it and,
hey, scoot over.
Yeah,
and
well,
be, and he Jack can get on that door.
Right.
Stop being a door hog.
But like only one usually dies per round. So I'm like, well, she's gonna cover and allow her time to Zoe to kick the window out or whatever, get her in the. But you know, but they die.
Right.
And now it's just down to Zoe, or so we think.
Zoe drops into like a child's nursery.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the reveal that Deborah Ann Woll was never dead.
She just pops out of
nowhere. She pops out of
nowhere.
And also, she's the new game master, right? So that's the deal. It's like they want. Well, she was. She set up this entire puzzle.
They made her. Yeah, they kept her alive. They landed her on that big billiard room fall down onto a crash pad, and they said, "We've kidnapped your daughter. You've been in these games. Who better to create a new one than someone's experienced them? And we will, you know, kill your daughter or whatever unless you create the games for us."
Right.
I mean, I've experienced movies, but I can't make one.
That's fair.
I mean, I question the logic of play here.
Yes.
And they didn't even pick the person who won.
Yeah, they picked the gal that got knocked out in like the third round.
Right.
I know. I don't know why exactly, but it brought brought back Deborah Ann Woll.
So they bring her back. Yeah. They want Zoe to be the new game master. Zoe's like, "You, I'm not doing it."
Right.
Okay, so in the first movie, Ben shoots and kills a guy who was. He was the bad psychiatrist from the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is who that actor was. But that means that dude was innocent. If that guy was the game master and Minos just.
No, it doesn't mean they've always done this.
Yeah.
I took it as that they're trying to up. They got to make these puzzles the next level, and they're like, we're going to capture her and make someone in a game the game master.
So I took that as like, killed some poor schmuck that got stuck doing
it. But even if it is, he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Even if it's against Will, he's still doing it. Yeah.
I know, but Zoe pretty much was just like, I would have never worked for them. I mean, so you can blame her. I mean.
Yeah, I know. It's whatever. But I was like, oh, man, they killed that guy.
No, I don't think it was like that. I think, yeah.
So this is.
I think the.
And it's still the guy trying to kill you in that moment.
Yeah.
Was he trying to kill him? Oh, I guess he was.
Yeah, he's a game master.
Yeah. I think the rich people, like, it's to up the stakes for up the ante for them.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna have a former contestant making the games. Like I think they were trying to, you know, it's like when you become numb to stuff, and it's like, what's the next thing that will be, you know,
like rich people. Now Kellyanne Clarkson is a judge.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna... So
I gotta tell you,
Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. I don't know where I got that.
I know where you got it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Never mind.
I gotta tell
you, your fascination with Kellyanne
Conway.
Just top of mind. That's the Kelly you've been hearing more for the last 4 years.
Kelly Clarkson, one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, she's delightful.
She's insanely nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's very nice. She's super. Like, she's one of those people that like became famous on accident.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. I guess nobody thought that was going to be a
and
thing.
And loves it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Like she, like it, in a good way, not in an egotistical way, but like she just enjoys,
doing it.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it's, she's a blast.
She was. So
then Deborah and
we get the reveal,
says,
and then she's like, "If you didn't see the ultimate like superhero death trope, I didn't see it happen, so it didn't count." And that's exactly what this is. She's like, "You didn't see me die. You saw me fall." And then we see, like, there's a reveal of a...
We saw this with the kids, and on the way home, they were making fun of that. They were like, okay, so I guess there's no Eiffel Tower. I've never seen it. And then it was like, yeah, there's no... my stepdaughter's like, so the Holocaust, okay.
Oh.
Maybe this has gone too far.
Sid,
she's been hanging out with me way too much.
So she's like, if you don't do this, they're going to hurt whoever's closest to you. And she's like, I have no one left.
Right.
She's like,
whatever you... Remember what we said? You didn't see him die. Yeah.
So then...
The wall breaks away and Ben's in like a shark tank.
Yeah.
And they're going to kill Ben. And of course, the resourceful Zoe realizes that there is a gas fireplace. So she pulls the copper. I was like, hey, why don't you just take that copper with you? Because that's Ben.
I don't think she's worried about pawning the copper.
So she takes
you're like, man, this Minos place does have a lot of
money. I
know.
That's what I did think that. I was
that's
like,
a
oh,
lot of
that's,
copper.
That's a lot of copper.
So she's like, oh, the heat will expand the metal and buckle the window or whatever and get him out of
sure,
there.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, whatever. So she sets the whole place on fire. They get out.
And Debran. Oh, yeah. So like, I guess Debran will probably only. They paid her for that one scene. She's only in one. I mean, maybe the subway thing.
Do you see her? Do you see her again? I don't know if that's her.
You don't see her at the police station.
You don't see her at the police station?
No. So she filmed that one scene, which is, again, they kind of like retconned her back in the movie, and that was great.
So they're bringing me back for Spider-Man 3. I got to get out of here.
so they're in the police station, and this is where, an FBI guy comes up and is like, sorry, we didn't believe you before. We found all this evidence. Minos is on the run. We're shutting down people all over the globe.
We're
going to
give you back the evidence. When he gives her back the necklace, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
That stays in evidence until this thing is done. Like, you don't get that back.
They see on the TV they picked up the guy that led them there in the beginning.
If you could tell, if you looked real close at the FBI badge, you could tell it wasn't real because it said female
body inspector.
Yeah, totally. Can't believe she missed
that. And then his shirt on the back said, you know, if you see the cops, warn a brother.
And she's like, McLovin.
So everybody's being put to justice. They're like, it's finally over. This is so great.
She's like, can we take a plane back?
Let's go take
and then
that
I was
flight.
Like, but what about the car that you drove there?
I know. I did the same
what
thing. I was like, you drove
car?
There. Where's your car?
Could have been a rental.
Okay,
not a rental. That car was a big old piece of crap.
It's a piece of crap rental.
Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, cool. I was like, man, that was your car. What are you doing?
But I thought this reveal was great. So they're on the plane, and she's still looking around. I mean, you can tell they're like, yeah, it's over, but they're still like, oh, I don't know.
Right.
And so she gets up and to go to the bathroom.
Well, she
and she sees
who. Well, this is what I thought was dumb. So, like, in the very beginning that we talked about where her therapist is like a very distinguished woman, dressed very specifically, right? Silver hair in a bun, glasses, sweater, like very like middle-aged, a little bit older than the middle-aged therapist dress, right? Okay. Like business casual. So Zoe gets up walking to the bathroom and sees the hairstyle right? Like, so she's like, Dr. blah, blah, blah. And it's not the doctor. But like...
But she has all the stuff.
But why wouldn't it be the doctor? It's not the same woman.
I just... It isn't?
No. Because no, whenever she looks at her, she's like, her. She goes, excuse me. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else. But the woman's got like the free will book and the purse and the thing.
But the woman has all the stuff.
Right.
She's
but
got
it's
all
not,
the stuff, but it's not.
It's not the same woman.
It's, I sure didn't think it was the same woman.
She says it's not. She says, I thought you were somebody else.
Okay. I've kind of got the face blindness like for people I've never seen before. Like, I figured it was her, but she was playing
she was older and had like more, like
she was dressed more, like the therapist, but the
she
woman,
was certainly like trying to look like her, but it was, but okay. I didn't think it was her either.
No,
like,
it's not. Okay. I mean, there's a line of dialogue where she says, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else.
Right. And she was like, I took that as like, she was playing a part or whatever. And then like, I don't know who you are, like playing the part. And then she was like, oh, well, I thought you were someone else. Cause she denied it. I don't know. But either way, I love that they showed all the stuff from the beginning.
What would it take to get
and
you
they flash back? They literally asked her, what would it take to get you back? And then they orchestrated the exact thing just to get her on there and screw them over. Like,
yeah. Like that's, I mean, it's the same. It's almost the exact same ending.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought that was great.
I will say,
like,
the ending was good.
It was all right,
like,
there.
I thought and it was the ending.
They got, these kids thought they won, and it was all orchestrated to make them think they won to get on this plane.
So they brought in five different champions just to get to Zoe?
But also,
no, they wanted Zoe to be they wanted the best of the best to be the game maker, who ended up being Zoe. And when they couldn't get her, they're like, well, we're going to get her one way or another.
Okay. But the whole beginning of the movie is like, she wants to take them down.
But they already had her. Like,
yeah.
That's what I don't get. That's kind of what I don't get. Like, at some point, it's just, they just like messing with her. Because it's like, if the whole point is, well, we got to get her, so we're going to do this thing where we get her, and then we'll let her go so we can get her.
Right.
Well,
that's their point.
They're still streaming the thing for their people to bet on. Like, I still think they wanted an enticing tournament of champions for the rich folks, and then whoever won that, they want the best of the best.
Plan set up for... So you think they had five different plans for whoever...
I think they had lots of different contingencies and all that. Like, they were like, we're going to get her on a plane and get her to the tournament, and we're going to have the winner be the game maker, and, well, we got to get her again, so we're... I just think it all falls... I totally know what you mean, that it all has to play out a certain way to get there and to use the original plan, but I think they had that plan to get her one way or another, and if they couldn't get her on a plane to the tournament, then they're going to use that same plan they've been working on to capture her. I just think that it all played out that way.
My thought was I'm just kind of fatalistic, which is like, why run it all at some point? Like, they're just gonna get you.
Yeah,
you know,
just do the game.
It's just the, I mean, I guess it's like, what I do like about that character and why I think we care about Zoe is her, I don't know, like her morals or her standards. Like, she's like, screw it, I'll let them just kill me before I ever help them, before I, you know, she's like, I would never do that.
Yeah,
she's totally unwilling to compromise, and it doesn't matter. And at the end, she was gonna just basically die. Ben's like, don't let them win, and I feel like she was like, you know, never going to help them,
right?
No matter what it means. And so,
I feel like in the next one, our next retcon will be that Ben has been the game master.
So that's where I thought we were going this movie. Yeah. I thought like we were gonna lose Ben. When Ben goes, I was like, okay, there's...
I did think there was going to be... I thought the influencer girl was kind of off. There was something about her where I'm like... Because when she shows up for the acid rain, she's like, no, 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 it's whatever. And I'm like, but she escaped, and now she's here. I'm like, does she know the plan, but now got stuck in it?
No,
and,
I did think the entire time. Like, when we lose Ben in the sand, I was like, well, there we go. Like, Ben is the...
Yeah.
You know.
But I never would have thought they would have brought back Deborah Ann Woolf. So, like, I thought that was a good...
No, that was a good twist. Unless I was like, why is that woman with bright red hair fall? Like, why did they hold on that? That's very weird.
And I wonder if that was her. We'll have to look that up.
Or if we'd see her in multiple scenes.
Yeah.
If we,
like, in the background.
She was watching
on a second watch, you know what I mean? Or someone that's supposed to be her.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, 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 sure.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, it's a ridiculous movie, but it's basically, you know, this generation's final destination.
Yeah.
And
just what scenarios can we get them in?
Except Final Destination was like, hey, how can we murder and maul these children?
They
showed it happen in Final Destination. We're just like,
okay, because they were hard.
I gotta tell you though, I never drive behind those trucks with logs.
Never. And you shouldn't.
Absolutely
that was a
great not. PSA. Yeah. Never. Every time I see it, I was like, no, I get it. Nope.
I'm gonna go the other side. Hopefully in the next Final Destination, it's a lot of people dying from not getting vaccines then. If we're gonna use it to teach
lessons. I already got mine. I'm totally cool with it.
Oh, I know. As have I. It's one of the first people in America to get a vaccine, damn it.
You didn't know it though.
Yeah. I was pretty sure.
I think if you like the first one for the most part, you're in for more of the same. It's fun. Yeah. And
I agree. Like if I get why someone wouldn't like this movie. I thought it was fine. I would never sit down to watch it again. If there's a third one, I would watch it. Even if we weren't reviewing it, I'd be like, okay, let's see how this plays
out. It's like you wouldn't do the same escape room twice.
Yeah.
Because you already, like, the fun of it is the puzzles and the situations. You're not really going to rewatch unless you want to pick up clues to
see. You want to show off for strangers.
Yeah, right. Oh, look at this. Yeah. The key's in the shoe and put the shoe on the wall. And
yeah. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
See, wasn't that fun? I just paid $100 a person to play this room.
Yeah. I'm out of here in 10 minutes, man. Yes. We're done.
Got the rest of my night back. Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So we know what's next week. Is there something big and obvious next week?
Is it not Jungle Cruise?
I know Joe Bell is next week.
Mm. Well, what's that?
Marky Mark has a gay kid, and bullying is bad. That's that one. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll do something. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Mike kills the voice. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.